Good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you here. I took advantage of the Zoom option, and I really do hope that the next time, because I don't think I'll have to teach a Sunday school class afterwards, that I'll be able to be with you in person. But it's great to see everyone this morning, and for you, those that are in Parkhurst Chapel, as well as those online via Zoom. I think all of us are feeling a burden with regard to what's going on between Russia and the Ukraine, and our hearts are with our sister Anya, who has obvious close connection and a real burden there, just because of family, friends, and her native country, and I think I saw Anya and Brian in the audience there at Parkhurst. So I just wanted to, there they are, to let her know that there are many, many believers praying for you, your family. And so those are the things that sometimes we share, and lots of burden with regard to this, this catastrophe. And my prayer is that, I mean, there's just so many things to pray for. Praying for salvation, praying for repentance, and pray for safety. Pray for the courage of people. And it's a very difficult situation. So our hearts are with you, sister. As we open up the Word of God, Romans chapter 6 is the passage, and specifically the last part of Romans. Chapter 6, verses 15 to 23 is the portion we are looking at today. This portion is, as every portion in the Word of God, has certain aspects of value and just a real preciousness to it. As we take a look at it this morning, my prayer is that we would be blessed and encouraged through it, as I have been blessed and encouraged through what I've read. Let's read from verses 15 to 23. It says, "What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from these things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. The fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end is eternal life," or eternal life. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." May God bless his word. Just a couple of things that as a precursor to this message. Is a number of years ago, I was teaching a little school and discipleship program, and we had it was a small group of students, and I was teaching it, and one of the girls that was part of the group was actually from Australia, and she had come up to Canada and looking to kind of refocus her life. She had been part of that great organization and church planting program and church in Australia called Hillsong. And they have had an influence worldwide. And she said, I was part of a group of young people who, and because her parents were part of that church. And she said, we, as young people, sometimes we weren't really following the Lord as we were supposed to. And she said, we were all had professions of faith. We said we believed and followed Jesus, but we were kind of living lives that really did not reflect Christ. And she said, there was one time that she was with a bunch of her friends and they were at a nightclub. And they're all dancing and having a great time, apparently, and drinking and dancing. And so as they're there, one of them in the group was yelling at the top of their voice and said, here we are, we're building our testimony. And I just thought to myself, you know, and so she said, you know, that is to the extent we got to. We're building our testimony. In other words, they were sinning or acting out in certain ways on purpose to build a testimony so that 5, 10, 15 years down the road, when they told their testimony about how they had come back to the Lord or become believers or whatever it is, that they could point back to these moments. Well, I think that anybody who has a sense of the fear of the Lord, number one, a real sense of the goodness and grace of God, that's not what the purpose of having freedom to in Christ to do. For us to build up ourselves in that way is a travesty, because let's face it, you commit sin and you have sinful practices, and then when you come to Christ, he forgives you your sins, but you don't forget what happened. Or even as a believer, you cross a line, or you commit a willful sin, you have that memory with you. And sometimes they're not pleasant memories. And sometimes even while living that life of sin, a person can make choices that actually could bring consequences to the rest of their life. And so that's a just a poor recommendation. And it was a poor thing. Now, what this first verse, it says to us, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? It's not to take advantage or abuse of God's grace. And so we're going to get into some of that understanding and the images. I should say verse 15, what then are we to sin? So we are not under the law, but under grace, by no means. That's what verse 15 is. I'm sorry, I read verse 1. What we have to realize is that taking advantage, or what we think is taking advantage of this freedom in Christ, is not a healthy perspective nor a healthy way to live. What was interesting with this girl, as she's told her testimony, she says it was there on that dance floor, she says, in the nightclub, that she said, God stopped me dead in my tracks. And she said, it was like I saw everything in slow motion around me. And I realized that we were wasting our lives, that we were making bad choices with my friends. And she said, God stopped me there. And she says, I left that nightclub, repented, and went back to God. And I thought, wow, you know, that is part of her testimony. And she didn't recommend that would be the way to go. And so, for any young people around here, yes, you are free in Christ. I am free in Christ. But it isn't to take advantage of the goodness and the grace of God. Don't ever think that that's an option, because it really is an unhealthy way to live. And so I just want to encourage you to listen to this message, and hopefully you'll make, if you are heading in any sort of direction that would be a willful disobedience to God, and a willful way saying, oh, well, I'm under God's grace. Remember, there is a perspective that God gives us here. He says in the last verse of this section, says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, or the free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that's a verse that we've often quoted in the gospel, because we are warning people, the wages of sin, the wages of disobeying God, the wages of turning away from God, it leads to destruction. But God offers a free gift. It's a present. It's wonderful. And as we begin, I want to talk a little bit about that present. Around here, I see a lot of different people, husbands, wives, and couples. And one of the things we appreciate about another person is when they put thought, they put time, and they put sacrifice into giving you a gift that is really precious, right? Sometimes the most wonderful gifts that we can have and receive are the gifts that are really, are a gift of that maybe doesn't have a price on it, you know, it hasn't been bought, or it's something small, but it's something that could be inexpensive. But we value that gift in such a way because there has been true thought, true sacrifice placed into it. Well, that's the gift of God. It's his son that was sacrificed for us and given for us. Now, the book of Romans, and actually from Romans right to Philemon, the Apostle Paul, when he writes the different epistles that he writes, he always mentions the idea of being in Christ. And we see that eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That means in full and complete relationship, fellowship, friendship, whatever you want to call it, but complete unity with Jesus. And so when he writes to many of the new believers and many of the believers that he'd met, maybe some believers that he hadn't met in different places. And here in Rome, he hadn't met these believers, and he's writing to them, and he's urging for them to have an understanding. We know this is kind of almost like a legal document. It's a beautiful piece of literature that he writes. And as he explains the doctrine of salvation, as he explains certain truths, he's trying to help them and the believers there to be unified in their understanding, and whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, but understand that justification by faith, sanctification, being set apart for the service of God, and the salvation that they receive was not something that should be just sort of added on, or it's just a little piece of their lives. It had to be their life. If we want to see God move in our lives, he's got to be our lives, in our life in a complete way. There was a young man that I had a conversation with last week, or two young men, and one of them was bringing up the whole aspect of, well, Christians are hypocritical. Now, this young man professes to be saved, is baptized, and I believe he's a born again Christian. But he has a lot, and he's pointing to every Christian group, every pastor, every this and every that, and saying they're all a bunch of frauds. And unfortunately, there are cases and instances where you can go, you have a point. But what the young man was saying is that, you know, it so, you know, I'm, why should I, you know, follow the word of God. Why should I do this? And why should I do that? And it was interesting. The other young man, without my prompting, said, sorry, man, you know, what you're saying is you're just providing a smoke screen. You're just providing a smoke screen so you can go on doing what you want to do in your life so that you can go on sinning. And I thought to myself, boy, if I'd said that, you know, at the age that I'm at, I'd be coming down as condescending. But a young man who was a peer said the same, said exactly what I would have said. And I'll tell you, it made an impact. The older young man, just maybe a two years older, said to that next young man, he said, that's just a smokescreen. And you're just, you know, he said, you have to feed yourself on a daily basis. You have to get in fellowship with God. You have to be in Christ. And so as we take a look in the next few minutes at this passage, I want us to think about it. Now, first of all, what I want to point out is that the whole idea behind what the Apostle Paul is trying to say in the first part, in verses 12 to 13, and he encourages them to present themselves or to yield themselves to Christ. Now, as we go into this next section, he's really giving them a reason why, how, and why they should really yield themselves to Christ. What the reason why we need to do it, gives us how, but we are to do it in a way that we understand. Now, first of all, what are the reasons? Well, one of them is found in verses 14 and 15. And even though we started at 15, we're going to read 14. It says, "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." And so then it asks this question, what then? Are we to sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Okay, so we're not to be individuals that allow sin to abound or sin to dominate our life. But what's the reason? Well, it's because of God's grace. That's why we need to yield ourselves to him. It is by grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves, but it is a gift of God, as Ephesians says, and that we're to live not under the law, but under God's grace. It doesn't give us an excuse to sin. And so when we choose willingly to disobey God and sin, we are really hurting ourselves. We're hurting the heart of God. And we are under grace. And so what it is that I read something and it says this, is that since we are not under the law, but under grace, sin is robbed of its strength. When we depend fully on God's grace, sin is robbed of its strength. You see, when you follow God, the strength of sin is diminished. The power that the devil thinks he has over us is totally diminished. Isn't that great, that verse that says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? That is because the power and the strength of Satan is diminished, because he has no strength when we trust and depend upon the grace of God. Now, then it gives us another window in verses 16 down to about verse 20. Now, it talks about slavery here. Now, we need to understand what the Apostle Paul was really trying to help them understand, okay? It's this, is that a slavery itself was something that was common in that day. So he was bringing out something that they could identify with. And being enslaved in those days was to pay off a debt, was, you know, maybe they were from another nation. There were a number of reasons why people would would be enslaved. But what we see here is that he brings this understanding to the people that he's writing to. And he says, in verse 19, he says, I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. Now, he wasn't condescending. He wasn't talking down to them. But he says, we are natural human beings. We have limitations in our understanding. So I'm going to bring out this whole example of slavery. Slavery for us is a negative thing. You know, if you heard of someone that was enslaved, you know, you would cry out for justice. When we think of the traditions of the or the past history of the specifically the United States of America and even the United Kingdom and other parts of the world, slavery was something that was part of the way that they constructed their nations. A tragic part of history, and there were people that were enslaved against their will, and they were treated like animals, and they were subdued and submitted. Well, we know that that's wrong, and so the Apostle Paul is bringing this out, and he says to them, verse 16, do you not know that you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves? You are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin which leads to death or of obedience which leads to righteousness. He says, and then in verse 17, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. Okay. Now, what is the key there? It's the heart of the individual. So when we submit ourselves to God, the motivation has to be love. It has to be based in an appreciation for the fact that we've been redeemed and we've been bought with a price. This is the doctrine that Paul is trying to teach these people. He's saying, look, he says slavery is negative. So it really is probably, you know, if maybe he wrote it today, he might not use this particular example of slavery because it's not, it's frowned upon within society, but in those days, it wasn't. So to talk about being enslaved to righteousness and to God is maybe not correct in one sense. And Paul wrote, because God does not hold his children in bondage, okay? That's, God does not do that. He doesn't hold us in bondage. But the word slavery, it appropriately describes an unregenerate person, a person who's not been regenerated by the grace and the purposes of God. And it really describes a person's unregenerate relationship to sin and to Satan. That's what the idea is there. So Paul used slavery for contrasting the relationship of the believer as well here. And so what we need to understand this is that he apologize for its use. And that's what he said. He said, I put this in human terms. I put them in this because of our limitations as humans. And so the understanding is the bondage that people were under is in slavery to sin is different than the attachment and the slavery or the commitment that we have to Christ because of who he is. I think this is a good analogy, so I'm going to suggest it to you. I saw a picture this morning, very briefly. I've tried to find the article on it, but and apparently there's a video out there of this present conflict in the Ukraine. And it shows a man who hopped on, a Ukrainian man who hopped on to a moving armored vehicle, and he's waving the Ukrainian flag. Now, in normal circumstances, generally speaking, we would not jump on to a vehicle, let alone an armored vehicle. He jumped on and he declared his commitment to his nation, his love for country. Now, why did that man do that? Because of what he believes in. He's committed to it. Now, inside that armored vehicle, there are young men and men from Russia who have a different perspective, and they've been given instructions, and they're doing it because that's their job. It's a wrong concept that they have. But what it is we see in that man that he gets on there. Two different hearts are there. Well, let's put this into perspective. What's our heart towards God? Do we have the courage to combat sin? Do we have the courage to stand up for righteousness and justice? Do we have a courage to stand up against immorality? That's what it is that the Apostle Paul is saying we need to be committed fully, just like slavery totally dominates a person. And you know, slavery, you go farther down into sin, you become a slave to it, you can't live without it, you're addicted to it. He said, in the same way, and I'm using human terms, I want you to be committed fully to Christ and be in Christ fully and completely. And so that's the idea in this passage, that he says in verse 17, you were once slaves of sin and become obedient from the heart. From the heart. That's such an important piece here. You see, when you do something with your heart, what does the scripture say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. What is it? It talks about the heart, that not that organ that's beating. But the idea is that out of the heart comes all those, that's the emotion, the soul. And how often do politicians will say, you know, they use these extreme statements, but there's truth in it, in a sense. When it says this is for a battle of the soul of the nation, so vote for me. Well, they want it for their own purposes, but really the Bible and the Word of God and the grace of God and the fullness of God is about the battle for the soul of mankind. And he took his own son to that cross, and he gave his life, and the battle for the soul of men was won at the cross of Calvary. But God is not a master that whips people into submission. He offers it as a gift. Satan is a slave driver. He's a master. And if you're not performing, he discards you. If you're not performing, he whips you. He ruins your reputation. He destroys your life. He gives you a bottle of alcohol and he says, drink it up. And you have fun maybe one or two times, and then by the fifth, sixth, seventh time, you're a mess. A person who gets into any sort of substance abuse, you know, when they have fallen apart, you know what that's like. I met a man once down at the Union Gospel Mission. I'll never forget. He had been a high-end real estate salesman, made a ton of money, moved to Mexico, and there he was introduced to cocaine, and he lost everything. And he came back, and he was eating at the Union Gospel Mission. Not that it didn't degrade him or his dignity, but there he was eating at the Union Gospel Mission. And I think that Morris McElroy, for all of us that know him, he told stories of people that he would meet that he had known in an earlier part of his life, who had been top businessmen or people, and they were down on Skid Row. And they'd lost every shred of dignity that they had. And they could point back to a life that where they made certain choices. We know that when we live and we enjoy the person of Jesus Christ, we have freedom to choose and live and be committed. And in this instance, we can use the word enslaved, but what it is your motivation is love, You want to be that Ukrainian man on the armored vehicle waving the flag and saying, I love my country. Well, let's get on board with Jesus and let's get on board that train. Let's get on board that hope that we have, and let's wave the flag of Christ and say, I love my Jesus, and I will tell others about him, and I will live for him. And if he wants me to die for him, I'll die for him. But I know that in the end, God wants me to live for him. And so we see how the unsaved person, they think they're free. They think they're free from righteousness, right? Verse 20 tells us that. It says, what does it say? For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You weren't obligated to be righteous. That's how you can justify being a cheat and being deceptive and being a thief. That's how you can be a liar, because you're free to do those things. But what does he say in verse 21? But what fruit were you getting at that time from these things, from the things of which you are now ashamed? Once you become a believer, what happens is you look back and you go, oh my goodness, I did that. Oh, I said that. Oh my goodness. And so then that is what the transformation and the touch of Jesus Christ in our lives as he saves our souls changes us. And it says, should I be ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Period. It's death. Spiritually, and ultimately, sometimes sin can take you to a physical death. Verse 22, though, he says, and I love verse 22. We often focus on verse 21, print 23, obviously, but it says, but now you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. And so once again, he's using this example because of our human limitation. And he's trying to bring the opposite out and bring in this precious point. And he says, we've become slaves of God. We've become fully committed to God. We're courageous for God. We stand up and wave our flag and we say, this is what I belong to, and this is what I believe in. And what does he say? The fruit you get. Okay, so this is the fruit. What do you get? It leads to sanctification. The fruit, it leads to sanctification. What is sanctification? Being set apart, being part of the family of God. And then it says, it leads to sanctification. And this is the amazing part. Not only leads to sanctification, but the holy and righteous life, but it leads also, what I love what it says there at the end, it says, and its end, the end result, the prize, the cherry on top, you know, whatever you want to put it, is eternal life. That's what we got to look forward to. Eternal life. Have you ever met someone who's afraid of death? I think all of us have some sort of a fear of death. We, you know, there is that fear. But have you met a believer and they're ready to meet the Savior and they're confident, they're secure? They said, I'm going to meet Jesus. Just a little while ago, I think some of you maybe heard, but we had a gentleman at Heather Bible Chapel there, 106 years old. He just passed away, H.D. Ray. Amazing. You know, and for the last, I'll tell you, since I've known him, he's been going, I'm looking forward to seeing the Lord. I can't wait, you know. And for the last little while, he questioned, goes, why does the Lord have me here? You know? And he'd ask it, but he says, I'm ready to meet the Lord. And whoever was taking care of him, he witnessed to them. He said, you need to meet the Lord. Oh man, that's what we have. The goal is while you live here, you can live a holy, righteous, sanctified life. You don't need to be enslaved to sin. And the result of that is even better, eternal life with Jesus Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul lived by, right? For me, to live is Christ while I'm here, but to die is even better. It's gain. So that's a goal that all of us should have. So let's not, you know, for young people, don't don't get into a life of sin where you're building your testimony. You know, that's rubbish. It's a waste of time. Because all it'll do is give you bad memories. Oh yeah, you might be repented and come back to the Lord. That happens. Praise the Lord for that. But better not even create memories. That'll just sear your mind and hurt your heart and hurt your soul. Believe and trust in the Lord. He will give you the blessings. And you know what? He'll give you the best experiences when you know Christ, when you live for Christ, and you enjoy that you are in Christ. What does it say? The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What do we need to do? We need to present ourselves, submit ourselves to Christ. We need to yield ourselves, and God will help us. It doesn't mean it's going to be perfect, but I'll tell you, I'd rather be blessed than enslaved. And that's what is a life in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these moments that we are together. Bless us now as we continue. We thank you for your love, your grace, your goodness, in Jesus' name.